The date is August 5th, 1977. I'm here talking with Mel Knowlton, the football coach at Alliance for 24 years, from 1946 through 1969. From 69 through 1977, he has served as athletic director in the Alliance school system. Mel, I wondered if you could explain a little about your background and how you got to Alliance.
Well, Alan, I was born in Boston, Massachusetts. Moved to Massillon, Ohio when we were just young kids, and went through the Massillon school system. Graduated from Washington High School in Massillon, then went on to Miami University. And after graduating from Miami University, I went back to Massillon to coach in junior high at Edmund Jones. Paul Brown was the head football coach. He was also the head coach at high school, and I was a senior. After that, I went in 1941 to Steubenville and stayed there 1 year, and then went in the service in World War II. And while in the service, the superintendent of Alliance Schools, who was formerly the superintendent at Steubenville, offered me a job at Alliance, so I came here as soon as I got out of the service.
Now, in high school, you participated in athletics at Massillon. Would you tell about that?
Why, yes, I played for Paul Brown. I played football and basketball and ran track in at Massillon. We didn't have baseball then, although I'd have preferred to play baseball. Of course, Alliance at that time was one of Massillon's bitter rivals, and I can recall our game at Mount Union Stadium in 1932, my senior year, when Alliance had one of its greatest football teams. They defeated us 30-6, and I have quite a few memories of that game. I've met many of the Alliance players since coming to Alliance, and I must say that they, George Wilcoxon was a ghost in ending. He had an excellent football team, and we didn't stand much of a chance in the ball game, frankly.
What's your opinion of Dr. Wilcoxon as a coach?
Well, George Wilcoxon always was a very, very highly thought of in coaching circles. I know Paul Brown used to think and talk about him frequently. George did a fine job, and if it wouldn't have been for going into medicine, he'd have probably continued on, undoubtedly would have continued on with his coaching duties. But he had some fine football teams in Alliance High School, and he's recognized as an outstanding, excellent football coach.
Now, you went on to Steubenville as a head football coach, and how did you do there?
Well, we didn't do very well that first year. We did get things started and build it up, and then, of course, the war came along, and I went into the service and had planned to go back there right after the service, but when the superintendent of Steubenville came to Alliance and then asked me to come here, knowing him and knowing the background that Alliance had under George Wilcoxon, I knew that the chances of having a good football program here were very good. So I elected to come here to Alliance.
In 1945, the Alliance team had a very poor season. They had one game, lost eight, and tied one. And in 46, you turned it completely around and won seven and lost three. How did you accomplish that?
Well, I'll have to say this. Joe Quinlan was the head football coach in 1945, and Joe attempted to get everything built up as well as he could for us, starting out when we figured we would in 1946. And even though they had a poor record as far as games won and lost, Joe Quinlan did work very hard at trying to get things prepared and ready, and did a fine job for us, and I think that, as much as anything, had a lot to do with a pretty good season the following year.
In 1948, you had a very excellent season. You won nine and lost one, Now, John Borton was a member of that team. Would you describe that season and explain the highlight of that year and talk about John Borton for a bit?
Well, that was a very good year. We had beaten Massillon over here at Mountain Union Stadium, and Massillon was an excellent football team, coached by Chuck Mather at that time. And Kent McKinley then defeated us for our only loss of the year. And all three of us ended up with a 9-1 and or nine victories and one defeat that particular year. John Borton was a quarterback on that team. He was a sophomore. We had a lot of good football players on it. Jerry Thorpe was a running back and an excellent one. We had Pee Wee Davison as an end, and many others. I hate to mention too many names, or some names without, for fear that I'll leave some out. Russ Addison was center force. He was not very big, 160 pounds, but he was an excellent football player and a sharp boy. I think the main thing about that team, we had some real sharp people, not very big, but real sharp people. They were dedicated. They all thought that winning the game was the important thing, not the individual honors. And I can recall many times Candy Carroll, who was one of our fine backs, talking about John Borton as a quarterback and what an excellent job he was doing. And it was a spirit that we had that I think prevailed throughout the whole year and helped make us a real fine team. And without that, you can't very well succeed.
What happened to John Borton?
Well, John, of course, left here and went to Ohio State. And, of course, then they started to play freshman, and he started out as a linebacker and played linebacker as a freshman at Ohio State immediately. And, of course, then he played quarterback, too, and was one of their all-time great football players. I think Woody Hayes continually talks about John and the unselfish manner in which he ran a football team and the things that he did for Ohio State. And John did the same type of thing for us. He was just outstanding in his leadership ability, as well as his ability to throw a ball and his ability to play a linebacker on defense.
Now, did he not make it to the pros?
John did make it with the Cleveland Browns, yet before he could play with them, he had to go into the service. He spent 3 years in the service and then came back out and was rusty and tried to regain in a couple of weeks everything that he had lost in 3 years of service time, and hurt his arm, and that finished his football career. But I'm sure that John would have made a fine pro football player if he wouldn't have had that interruption in his playing.
Where is he living now?
He's over in Massillon now. He has an excellent position over at the Union Drawn in Massillon, and is doing very well.
Okay, now, then right after John Borton, you had a fellow by the name of Len Dawson. Would you talk a bit about him?
Well, Len was a sophomore when John was a senior, and one of the things that I recall very vividly about Dawson as a sophomore, we had about 46 on our varsity squad, and he was just a little kid. In fact, he was about number 46 at the time. And coming off the field after our last football game, I was wondering, as was the other coaches, just where we would find somebody to replace John Borton. And Len came up to us and said, Coach, I'm going to be the quarterback next year. And he says, I'm going to be just as good as old John Borton was. And of course, we said, well, fine, if you can do it, why, that's what we're looking for. And he proceeded to do just what he said he would be able to do. Of course, he worked at it. Now, a lot of people think that was cockiness, and in a sense it is, but it was really more a self-confidence. He knew that he was going to work hard at trying to become an excellent football player. And he just felt confident that he would get the job done, which is what he went ahead and did.
Now, he gives you much of the credit for his success. What do you say to him?
Well, I say this, that you can't make something out of nothing when you're coaching. That's impossible. You have to have the raw talent, and certainly we did have in kids like Borton and Dawson and Thorpe and Addison and Candy Carroll and men of that type. They were excellent. They wanted to learn. They wanted to work. Len worked 12 months out of the year playing something. If he wasn't playing football, he was playing basketball, or he was playing baseball. He was playing something. He was sharp mentally. He had a very good brain on him. And he was never satisfied that this is good enough. He wanted to be perfect, and he worked at it continually in an attempt to become an outstanding quarterback, and that's the thing that really made him. The fact that he was willing to work hard and listen to his coaches and try to always strive to be just a little bit better, a little bit better. And he did that, and that's the thing that I think brought him through. So it's the raw material that is there, and then the boy has to be willing to really sacrifice and work in order to get the job done. And Lenny was that type of kid, and he certainly did do an excellent job.
Okay, then probably your next best season was 1954, and you gained an honor that year, and several honors, really. You had an outstanding team.
Well, as in most, I would say the average or normal high school, you'll have your ups and downs. You may come up and have a great year or two, and then you may drop a little bit, and of course you hope to come back. And that seemed to be the pattern for us throughout the years. And we came up in 1954, and we did have an excellent football team that year. And again, I think the biggest thing about the athletes in Alliance, they were always very coachable. We always were after the type of boy that not only had physical ability but had mental ability, because really without the mental ability you don't have a whole lot of chance to be a great athlete. You can be a fair athlete maybe, but you'll never be a great one. And then we looked for the kid who had determination and desire to excel, and then we went about it in that respect. I think you have to always strive to prepare to win. I don't believe in the idea that winning is everything. I believe in the idea that preparing to win is everything. That is the secret, I think, of the whole thing. Then after you get in the ball game, you give it everything you got, and win or lose, why, if you've given everything you have, then you should feel satisfied. And the idea of winning at all costs or winning is everything, I just don't believe really belongs in, especially in the high school or interscholastic or collegiate football.
Now, what about Tom Barnett?
Tom Barnett was just about as good a runner as they come, I recall him very vividly. He was not very big again. He was a substitute and at Stanton Junior High School as a freshman. And the following year, he started to grow a little bit, and by mid-season of his sophomore year, he became a regular on our varsity football team. So he just shot up and came all of a sudden. Tom was an excellent runner, good blocker. He was one of those players that with the football under his arm, where he just sort of shook all over when he ran. He had good speed, and again, he had the determination and the desire to excel, and that's the thing that put him over.
Now, what honors did you receive after the season, and how did the Lions finish in the state?
Well, again, I think anybody that was coached over a period of years knows full well that any honors you receive as a coach are due to the hard work and the dedication of the ball players that you have and the assistant coaches, who I was very fortunate through all the years that I've been in Alliance to have excellent assistant coaches. and some really fine, excellent athletes to work with. And on that basis, I think any honors you get as a coach, that's the reason for them. I did get to be named Coach of the Year in Ohio that year, and again, I feel that the credit should go to our assistant coaches and to our football players. And then we did play the coach. I coached the North team in the North-South All-Star game over at Mansfield that year, which we won 19-7. Coaching an All-Star game is quite an experience, because you get to meet and coach some of the ball players who were your bitter rivals, and generally you find that when you do that, you find those kids are very much like the ones that you have in your own town, and they became great primarily because they had that intense desire to better themselves and be a little bit better than the other guy.
The Lions was ranked second in the state that year?
Yeah, we were second in the state that year.
Was there something unusual about the top three that year?
In fact, yes. Well, the top three had each beaten each other. Those were the only defeats, Massillon, Canton, and Alliance. I think it was we defeated Massillon, and Canton defeated us, and Massillon defeated Canton. And we ended up 1, 2, and 3 in the state.
Now, 1957, you had a player by the name of Les Traver, who I understand was quite a player.
Yes, Les was. He was an end for us. He was also a fine basketball player and a real good track man. That was true, of course, about all the people that we had talked about. Len Dawson, John Borton, Candy Carroll, Tom Barnett, they all played something practically every sports season. They were good in all sports, and I think that is really important to a high school boy. As an example, I just don't think it's wise for a high school athlete to decide, I want to be this or I want to be that, until at least he gets out of high school. A good example of that would be Len Dawson, because if Len Dawson has a, say, a sophomore would have decided, well, this is my best sport, I think I'll become a, he could have said, baseball player at the time. And probably at the during his junior year, if he'd have decided to make a choice of one, he would have said basketball. And yet here he is, because he played everything. By the time he became a senior, he was an All-Ohio football and basketball player, and then, of course, went on to great heights in football and college. Now, you do have to make a more or less of a choice after you get out of high school, because the seasons run into each other too much in college, and you can't afford the time anyway.
Of course, Dawson had quite an honor during his senior year, something that's rarely been accomplished by.
He was an All-Ohio football player and an All-Ohio basketball player. That's right, and you don't find that very often. But he was one of the boys. It's a good example of what might have happened if he would have tried to make a choice too soon. I think they're much better off to try to play something and something different every sports season, at least until they finish high school.
Well, now we're up to 1958, and of course, that was the year Lions won the state championship. Now, that must have been quite a season for you and the team. Would you go into that and describe it?
Well, yes, it was a great year. It didn't start out as with expectations of being too great, because, again, they were, that football team did not have size at all. We did have, again, dedicated athletes. We had quickness, pretty fair speed, and some excellent leadership. And the combination of those things more or less put it all together and helped us become a state champions. That group was, again, very dedicated, very loyal. They couldn't wait for Saturday morning to come along to find out what they had done, what had happened during the previous night, find out what their mistakes were and try to work on for the following year, or for the following week. And as the season progressed, they became a little stronger and a little stronger, and at the end of the year, they were about as strong a football team as you could have.
Now, since that was such a significant year in Alliance history, I'd like for you to go game by game and briefly tell about each game and tell what you did and what the team did.
Well, of course, the first ball game, we played Akron Central, and Akron Central was our opening game for years. They always had talented athletes. They always had great speed. The biggest thing that they lacked was that they lacked two things. They didn't have junior high school football, which meant that some of their football players were a little behind some of ours because of on fundamentals because of that. And they didn't have a very big coaching staff. They'd only have a couple men coaching, and consequently it made it tough for them. But they gave us a battle every week or every year, and were a real fine opponent. Cahoga Falls was our second team that year, our second opponent, and of course Cahoga Falls was always a big, rugged team. And for some reason, one of the teams that used to give us quite a bit of difficulty. We defeated them that year without too much trouble, but they were certainly a fine football team, and throughout the years, I think, caused us a lot of grief. We played Maslin over here that year and tied them 8-8, and the thing that was sticks in my mind that game is the fact that Walt Zing was playing defensive halfback and intercepted the pass right about 4 or 5 minutes to go to the end of the game. Of course, he was our quarterback also. And running the interception back, he was tackled pretty hard and he lost one of his contact lenses. So we had a quarterback in there who we wanted to throw the football as well as run it. And he only had one contact lens in, and he wasn't sure he could see the way he was normally could see. And we just felt that if he could have had both of those lenses in, or maybe none at all, which might have been a better idea, we might have been able to score. But we took it down near their goal line, but didn't have the time to get it in to break the tie. Barberton was always one of our bitter rivals, and we played them then after the Maslin game, and they gave us a lot of difficulty also, but we finally came through and defeated them. And then from there on, we played the last six ball games, and our team just sort of gelled, and we played Youngstown Ursuline and Canton Glenwood, Canton McKinley, Youngstown North, and Akron Howard and East Liverpool, and held all of them scoreless, and gathered quite a few points up ourselves, so we ended up with an undefeated season.
Now, after that East Liverpool football game, and you had buried them, and were probably going to be state champions, you didn't know for sure at the time. But what was the reaction when you got back in the Alliance? What did people do?
The odd thing about that, I never believed myself in running up a score against an opponent. And we always did, any time we could get somebody in a position where we thought we had them defeated, we tried to get in our second, third, and fourth stringers for more reasons than one. One was that we wanted to give those boys who had helped our starters all week long an opportunity to play, and by the same token, I never did feel it was the thing to do to make it more as difficult as you possibly could for an opponent. The week of that Liverpool game, and talking to our ball players, because we felt that if we did a pretty good job there, we did have a chance to win the state championship. And in talking to our ball players, they all said, well, don't worry about the game. We'll get it done, providing you'll promise us that you won't take us out as soon as we get a two-touchdown lead. So I did promise them that I wouldn't take them out if they did get a two-touchdown lead. And, of course, they went on to win the game 52-0. And, of course, that then, I think, sealed the state championship for us.
Now, this game was played at East Liverpool?
That was played at East Liverpool.
And what happened when the team came back into the city?
Well, we came back into the city. We were had a police escort, and I don't think I've ever seen the city of Alliance behind anything like they were that particular night. We had quite a celebration, which lasted to the wee hours of the morning, and everybody seemed in that was in Alliance was at the celebration, and people were very happy for the football squad, and I'm sure the football players, I know they talk about that even in this day, about the manner in which the people were behind them when they came back into town that night.
What happened after the state championship? Did the team let down for the next few years? Or
no, they didn't let down. Some years were a little better than others, but we had some mighty fine years following that. I think that sort of gave them something to shoot for. We had some excellent football teams and some excellent games. I think probably our series with Steubenville High School back like in 1661 or 62, around in there, where we played them at up here, and they had a great football team, and we played them at Mount Union Stadium and beat them 54-35. Then the following year went down to Steubenville and played them, and we came out on top there 28-22. I think those two games were about as rousing the football games as anybody could ever hope to see. We had good talent on those teams, and they did an excellent job. Of course, once you become state champion, people are ready for you every time you play them, and that makes it a little more difficult. Getting to the top is difficult, but staying up there, of course, is, I think, even more difficult.
1962, you had quite a game with Massillon. How did that go?
Yes, we beat Massillon that night on a real wet field up at Mount Union Stadium, 46-0, and things gelled properly that night. Everything went real well. We were ahead 20-0 at the half, and I know a lot of people were wondering if we could hold it at the half and or the second half, and we're fearful. I think that maybe we couldn't, but they came right back out and scored 26 points the second half, so to defeat Massillon 46-0. I don't think I've ever seen Massillon when they were any more dejected or downhearted than they were that particular night, but to their credit, they did come back and became a good football team. But that football team that night, I think, could have probably beat any high school team in the year.
Now, your last winning season was 1963, when you were 8-2. Now, what happened after that?
Well, nothing in reality. I mean, I think we had representative teams after that. And if you're 5-5, which we were once or twice in there, or even 4-6, a lot depends on many factors. I know many times. Looking back on it, we think of some years when we had real fine records, where we call them fortunate years, where maybe we didn't have the injuries, or we didn't have the breaks of the game. Other years, which we felt were unfortunate years, we would seem to get good athletes hurt at the wrong time, and maybe your breaks would go against you. I think over a period of time, those things pretty much even out. But you're going to have a little bit of both of them if you're in the game very long. And I do feel that like 64 and 5 and right on through, those kids were good representative teams. We were never out of any ball games, really. We the opponents respected this, and things, even if we ended up 4-6 or 4-5-1 or 5-5, we were in every game right up to the end.
Now, in 1969, that was your final season, and something special happened on the last, on your very last game as head football coach.
Well, yes, in that last game, we, of course, you want to win every one of them, but, of course, the last thing is the one, probably, that you remember quite a bit. And East Liverpool came up here, and they had a good football team that year. They were 7-2 at the time. And we defeated them 14-8 that night. It was a good, rugged, solid football game, and it happened to be the 150th victory for me, which was more or less a milestone here, too. So I do remember that one very vividly.
Who was the quarterback of that 1969 team?
Well, that was my son Bob, who never was able really to do as much as he had hoped, or we had hoped he would, due to injuries. He had two broken legs and a broken ankle and a broken shoulder, and through his high school career, and that held him back quite a bit. But it was a pleasure coaching him.
Now, as you look back, you probably had many, many offers to coach college and pro. What were some of them, and why didn't you take them?
Well, there were some opportunities, and again, a lot of times your opportunities are based upon the contacts that you have and things of that nature. And I had a few opportunities to go four or five places, which I finally decided not to do. Some of them I didn't think that the possibilities were there for doing the kind of job that everybody was hoping would be done. And then some of the others, why I felt that I'd been in the Alliance a long time. I liked it. I liked the people. I liked the players and the way they continually were willing to fight to get a job done, and I think it was a combination of those two things which made me stay here. But I thought many times, one time of going to Marshall as a college as a head football coach, which I felt would have been a mistake, and history has proven that it would have been. I did have an opportunity to go with Bill Edwards to his backfield coach at Vanderbilt. And I thought that they didn't have the opportunity to become a great football power, which they were expecting to do. And that proved to be true. I had an opportunity to go with the Annapolis, the U.S. Naval Academy. But that was during its declining years. And then illness forced me from accepting the assistantship out at Purdue back in the early 60s or early 50s, so it seemed that something always came up to more or less keep me here. I recall of the opportunity of going to the University of Oregon with Jimmy Akin, who was an excellent, as most Starr County people realize, an excellent football coach. He was coach at Camp McKinley in the 30s, and then Akron University, and then Nevada, and then he went out to the University of Oregon. But I always ended up by deciding to stay here at Alliance, which wouldn't have been the case if it wouldn't have been a real fine town, and some excellent people working in our boosters clubs, attempting to do the job, and last but not least, the type of students that were in the schools and that were coming out for athletics. They were tops, and I just didn't think we could do any better any other place, and that's one of the big reasons why I stayed.
As you look back on your high school career, Alliance, what would you say is the biggest highlight, if you can point one out?
Well, I suppose it'd be pretty tough to point out any particular one. I will say this, winning a state championship is certainly got to be one of the tops. Winning the last game in your coaching career has to be one of the tops. The two games I mentioned with Steubenville were examples. Yet there were some games that we played that we did not win that I felt real good about, because I felt that we got every thing out of our football players that we could. We felt that they prepared to strive to win, and they gave it all they had. And that is the answer to what you're looking for, rather than you must win at all costs. We used to tell them this, that just before a ball game, that, okay, we have prepared to the fullest extent. And we don't want them to worry about anything from there on. All we want them to do is go out and give their very best, and we'd settle for whatever score was up on the scoreboard at the end of the game. And sometimes that score was for you, and sometimes it was against you. But if you got that type of thing, you get the real, I think, lesson that football gives you, and that is that you can't get any place unless you really prepare yourself and you attempt to be the best and you strive to be the best, but you don't lay down and cry if you find out somebody else is a little better.
Since you retired as football coach, you have served as athletic director. Could you briefly tell what your responsibilities are?
Well, there are many things. Of course, the paperwork is tremendous. I'm sure very few people realize what that is, but we have 13 sports now. We have girls sports, which we should have, along with many of the boys sports. We have a lot of what we call secondary sports, which are dependent upon football and basketball. Everything is dependent upon football and basketball for their the money that those two make. Nothing else, there isn't any other sports that can survive if it weren't for your gate receipts in football and basketball. Actually, we've got so many games we have to contract for something like 400 different contests a year. You have many, many athletes. You have insurance that you have to be concerned about. You have officials, game officials. You have so many things. It's a multitude of paperwork that goes on year in and or day in and day out, and you never seem to get done with it. And that's really what the athletic director's job is today.
Now, in your years of coaching, you've seen ups and downs in athletics. Can you tell what your feeling is about the significance of an athletic program to a school and to a community?
Well, I think, actually, one of the features of an athletic program to a school and the community is that it should bring the whole school and the community together as one and help unite them in an effort to accomplish something. And if you can be united in one effort, then it's much easier to be united in many other efforts, which is necessary if you're going to have a good school and a good community. I think that is one of the basis for a good athletic program. Of course, the other thing is that I think that anybody who becomes involved in athletics is getting an education, part of an education that maybe you can't get any other way. And those people have to feel that they're fortunate very fortunate to have the opportunity to participate in some form of athletics or some part of the athletic program. And I think that an athletic program in the schools is a must. You can control what's going on. You can make sure that the athletes are treated properly and have good equipment, receive care when they should receive care as far as injuries are concerned, and it does provide an opportunity for good football players or good athletes in any one of the 13 sports to show some leadership. It's just another facet of your educational program. I don't feel that it should be called an extracurricular thing. I think it really should be considered as part of your regular overall school program.
Thank you very much for your time, Mel.
Okay, Alan, fine.